Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I am today with Dave Freezer and Paddy Davitt, fresh from their trip to the southeast. They're both
northeast.
Yeah. It's not like I've been off for a week or anything. They've both got smiles on their faces as well. Paddy's obviously sharp as a button, having picked up on that. How is everyone? We're all right.
We're good, mate. Yeah,
absolutely. It's difficult not to be after that trip. We couldn't complain about much.
Yeah, Norwich are pretty good on, away from home under Alex Neil. Oh God, do they just call him Alex? I wasn't there, so you guys were there. Tell me about it, because I was at Palace. I think there were a few worrying signs maybe from Palace, but then plenty of reasons for optimism as well. It was kind of in the balance pad. So what's it like having come back from Sunderland now?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you can sum it up but pretty simple, really. They're a little bit naive against Palace in both boxes, and the manager himself was the first to come out and admit it. And just in the intervening period, they've obviously worked on that. And it was clear for all to see that they certainly weren't naive on Saturday at Sunderland, albeit, get it straight in, they were shocking. They were diabolical. He's got big problems there on that evidence, so you don't want to sort of run away too much with Norwich are going to be threatening the top half of the table after that performance. But I think even setting aside how poor Sunderland were, there was a sense there, having seen the 290 minutes back to back, they all were very fast learners in terms of what they need to do in both boxes. And all in all, it was a very encouraging performance with the goals and the win to boot. So onwards and upwards, as we said in the Pinken today.
Yeah, I mean, Norwich have kind of proven they've been quick learners under Alex Neil before, haven't they, Dave? So that bodes well, I suppose, as Pat says, that transition.
Absolutely. It was one of the things that Nathan Redmond said to me afterwards, that the fast-paced nature of the Championship, you know, those Saturday, Tuesday games, constantly having to forget about the last result if you've had a bad one and get back and focused on the next game, is something that this squad, you know, without having been torn apart, especially over the summer, it's still being very similar. They're still kind of in that mindset. So he credited last season with that quick improvement. I think there's a pretty big shift in mentality from everyone. All the players put in different performances and kind of lived up to what everyone would have been hoping to see on the opening day of the season, albeit Sunderland were far worse than Crystal Palace.
Yeah, but I suppose, again, watching from afar, the thing that I picked up on, clearly Sunderland were awful, but it seemed that Norwich weren't going to be passive and wait. They took the initiative of the game, they took advantage of it, which I think is clearly something that may not have been the same a couple of years ago. There's also, as I had my mammoth football catch-up yesterday, there was an interesting point, I thought, from Mark Lawrenson, just saying the difference between Palace and Norwich was the fact that Palace were almost Premier League battle-hardened. And that, I thought, was a good way of putting the kind of difference, and maybe the thing that Norwich are going to have to spend a bit of time just recapturing, having been out of the top flight. It's quite a difficult thing to put your finger on, but it seemed like a good way of describing it.
Yeah, no, streetwise, I think I use that phrase post Palace, and that's what it boils down to. Even though they were only out of it for one season, it is, you know, it doesn't stand still, does it? That league is harder than it was the last time they were in there. And yes, okay, they retained the core of Premier League players, but it's still going to take a little while to adjust. And let's not be honest, a manager who's no experience directly of what the Premier League was about anyway, so he's learning on the job. But the one thing he has proved since he's arrived in these parts is that every time the bar seems to get raised for him personally in his career, he seems to clamber over it without too much difficulty. So I think the signs are pretty positive that as you say, bedding in process almost, it won't take them too long, I don't think.
I think if you look at a scale of where Norwich are compared to Sunderland or Palace, they're certainly closer to the Palace end of that scale, just from the fact that they're more of a team. They're playing for the manager, like the Palace players still are for Alan Pardew. And Sunderland were at the complete opposite end, where they just look a mess. They don't look a team. They don't look like they know each other well, or like they were particularly playing for the manager. So obviously Palace have got some pretty classy players when you look at Johan Cabaye, but that's perhaps what Norwich can strive to work towards.
So what you're saying is Sunderland look like a team that have had two miracle escapes.
On our way home, we were talking about that. Hopefully that's one team that you can tick of the three that Norwich are looking for, who are worse, as things stand, than Norwich and should finish below them in the table. So you only need another two to be worse, and you're safe, and you can build, get all that TV money in, and then maybe, you know, one day look for your own Johan Cabaye at Carrow Road.
You make it sound so easy, Dave. You love it. I love it. Now, did they get a bit of luck with the opening goal? Because it did hit Russell Martin's shin, and the first goal is so crucial in these. But they, were they sort of all over them up until that point?
Well, I wouldn't say all over. I mean, it was fairly even. Trying to think what minute that goal went in. It was about 25, was it?
It was 26.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was a bit of an arm wrestle the first 20-odd minutes. Where they had a little flurry and then Norwich would have a flurry. But what I would say is right from the very get-go, you had Robbie Brady bombing on down the left from left full-back. Whittaker, obviously, as was proved with the second goal, he was doing the same. So the intent was there to get on the front foot, but it's almost like it was a little bit frenetic, and it's who can establish control in that key midfield area, and I would have sort of called it on as even. But then once just before the goal, obviously there was a brilliant save from Bentilimon. He parried that Johnny Howson goal bound effort, and then and Ali Neal said, didn't he, the first goal is crucial. They didn't get it against Palace and paid the price, and they got it Saturday, and from then they never looked back, really. But now, up until that point, I wouldn't say Norwich were dominant, but they were certainly suggesting that they were going to get more of a grip on the game, I felt.
It was a bit of an arm wrestle that first 25 minutes, wasn't it, sort of trying to find out who was going to be the better team. But the way they reacted to going behind was comical almost. They really fell apart, didn't they? And if Norwich were to fall apart on conceding one goal like that in a game, you'd be very worried. But I think Alex Neil has got more of a grip on his squad than that for that kind of reaction to happen.
The goals were really nicely made. I know the defending wasn't great, and we'll maybe do the job that Match of the Day couldn't quite manage on Saturday night.
Well,
two brilliant moves made by the weight of the pass, or flick if you like, from Wes, who seemed instrumental. Dave's got the pink and supplement right in front of us, man of the match, number 14, Wes Houlihan, who was pretty good against Palace too. And they are playing nice football, aren't they?
They are indeed, yeah. And second goal, wrote about it today, kind of did for me evoke memories of that brilliant goal at Wembley, just in terms of the movement and the calmness. You know, they don't mind passing the ball, and it's not passing for passing's sake, which, you know, can be a criticism of that style. You know, if you want to look at the foremost exponents in the recent years, Barcelona, you know, they always pass with a purpose, and I think that's what Neil wants to encourage, you know. And it was all there in that second goal, the movement, the intent and the execution, and when they put it together like they did at Wembley, then they are capable of some excellent football, and you just feel now that maybe with the confidence they gain from this result moving forward, that they, if they were in any doubt, well, hang on, we can operate at this level, so, you know, maybe we'll see a bit more of that.
I mean, not to labour the point, you know, Sunderland didn't press at all by all accounts. It didn't seem like it, so he had a lot of space, and him had a lot of space, and him as well. And but Norwich do seem to have the ability to retain possession quite well, and as Paddy said, with that purpose.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of criticism of Match of the Day for not mentioning Houlihan, but one thing that they probably did highlight quite well was the lack of pressing from Sunderland as opposed to Norwich, who even at 3-0 up were still pressing the ball, and Wes, as brilliant as he was with his technique, as you expect him to be, he was working very hard, as was Jerome, to close down the space and just not let Sunderland settle. As Pat says, you can have possession for the sake of possession, and that comes down to the type of player you've got, doesn't it? If you've got players with brains like Johnny Howson, Wes Houlihan, and particularly Graham Dorans, I thought on Saturday, who know what to do, know where the space is, where to look for your teammates. And Redmond didn't just sit out on the right either, did he? He was quite often sort of scurrying across the box, and they were all finding those little pockets of space which allowed the others to keep the ball moving. So if they can keep that sort of flowing style going, then they're really hitting onto something that Swansea managed to do quite well a few years ago.
Two goals in two games from Nathan Redmond. Can I just say that the goalkeeping, that was pretty sure he shouldn't be being beaten at his near post. That said, he was quite exposed, wasn't he? Redders wasn't very far out.
Yeah, no, no, no. But as you say, near post, he's basically done him there, hasn't he, with the eyes. But he's probably shell-shocked by then, thinking, well, where's the threat coming from now? Because he didn't have a lot of protection, it's safe to say. But yeah, going back to Redmond, I mean, and also 5 and 6, I think, which is a phenomenal strike rate for his club. And he got one for England in the summer as well, the 21. So, you know, clearly he's getting a lot of headlines at the minute, but rightly so, because we had a lot of these podcasts last season, probably the season before, and when the topic gets around to Redmond, it was, well, he flatters to deceive. He's got all this ability. We see it in flashes. And then, you know, he's not able to make the right decision at the right moment, pick the right pass, when to shoot, when not to shoot. Well, at the minute, you can't level any of those criticisms at him. He just looks like he's matured, and I think a lot of that is down to the lad himself, because we all know, we've dealt with him. He's quite an intelligent lad, and he thinks about his game. But I think Neil as well has got a hold of him and really sort of put him on the path of, yes, you've got individual talent, but I need to harness that within the team ethic, and we're seeing that now. So
absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things he said after the game, that he credited Alex Neil with the tactical improvement in his game. And he pointed out himself that, you know, he's only 21, but he's in his fifth full season of football. He has got a lot of experience already, and the future is so bright for that lad. And he is a very switched on kid. He's got his feet firmly on the floor. He's always been brought up well. The Nationals were all wanting to float the England question at him. They're all looking for their lineup. Can you get into the England squad this season? And he wasn't biting. You know, he was sensible answers. I just want to keep working hard, keep doing what the manager tells me, and we'll see what happens. So personally, I don't think this season's likely to get anywhere near the England team because of Euro 2016 next summer. I think Roy Hodgson's probably got his group now and isn't really going to take a chance on someone like that. And I don't think Redmond's quite there yet. But beyond that, if he has a really good season this year, well, the question will be then whether he remains with Norwich City, I suppose, because he's going to be on a lot of people's radar. But then maybe England could be possible in the future.
Yes, you've touched on what I was going to say, which is get the boy a new contract. But sure that's a discussion going on. Of course it is. Now, I don't want to nitpick, but I am going to nitpick the late consolation. It was a wonderful finish off Duncan Watmore's shin. It did sort of come from a set piece. Also, a pretty shocking bit of refereeing, I think, in the build-up, because I can't remember who it was, but he was in the box.
Wasn't it? On a bit of a charge. It got past Gary O'Neill and Whittaker and got pulled back.
Not the best. But it was another goal conceded from a set piece. Pad
was indeed, yeah. Manager himself was raging, you know, and so were those players. If you look at some of the images we've taken, and I think that the manager said himself, he said there was more debate about that post match in the dressing room than probably the actual whole Palace defeat, because, you know, okay, it didn't matter there in the grand scheme of things on Weir's side, where you're 3-0 up and you're playing out time and the points are in the bag, but it certainly could matter if you're 1-0 up away from home somewhere and you're going to do that then it would be a very sore concession. So it's about good habits, isn't it, and doing the right thing at the right times and concentration, which was the message that he was trying to drill home after Palace. You know, that was lacking. They got punished and they got punished again. So yeah, you know, it's another reminder at this level you need to be switched on from minute one to minute 90.
It was disappointing, wasn't it? And the line that I liked from Neil was that he didn't have to tell them that they came into the dressing room and they were already disappointed. They knew that he was going to be annoyed with them about it. I mean, anyone that saw his reaction on the sideline, he didn't need to be much of a body language expert, did you? But that was disappointing, but they shouldn't have let it sour it. They, you know, talk it over, learn from it, but they definitely deserve to enjoy that result.
So obviously the logical conclusion on the back of that is that the transfer window still has a couple of weeks to go. What would you say to the fans, you guys? Because they're now apparently, I mean, there are a few rumours around, but you know, there's nothing apparently imminent, it seems.
Well, on our way up, we were saying that if they won at Sunderland on Saturday, all of a sudden the panic about transfers would die down. And thankfully, it has thrown a positive light on things now and shown that it's not quite as much of a panic. They have got a decent squad already there. They have hopefully got a squad good enough to stay up. But what you're then relying upon is you don't get big injuries to big players. As we know, you know, Leroy Fer missed a fair chunk of the season and under Chris Hughton. Had he been fit that most of that second half of the season, maybe they would have stayed up. There's definitely, everyone knows that a centre forward and a centre back preferably of top quality, it would make Norwich a lot stronger. But I think it has also been overlooked a little bit that Graham Dorans was signed in the summer, and look how good he was on Saturday. Yusuf Malumbo was looking very good in pre-season and has picked up an injury. So I don't think it's the end of the world if no one comes in. But we know, because Alex Neil has told us, that he is looking to add to it.
I wouldn't add any more. I think that's a very reasonable assessment. I don't know why. Well, I do understand, because it's the nature of the beast and we fuel it, and obviously broadcasters fuel it with the incessant coverage, that there is almost this panic element. Why aren't we doing any business? Look at Watford, look at Bournemouth, look at the amount of money they're spending. No guarantee whatsoever. You know, Norwich went out and spent big money before, last time they were in this league, and it didn't save them from the drop. So, you know, if they've gone about their business in a more measured way and they're going to do their homework to the nth degree, then so be it. I mean, let's judge them on September the 2nd, you know, and not even then. Maybe you'd need to see A, who they bring in, if they do, and B, how they bed in. But, you know, to sort of make these generalisations about their activity or lack of at this stage, when there's still 2 weeks to go in the window, you know, just take a step back, people, chill out.
Paddy says relax. And I always think that the closer you get to the deadline day, the more likely it is that all the deals will get done when it arrives. One deal that was done and ties in with Stoke's visit to Carrow Road next weekend, Serdan Shaqiri will be probably making his debut. Good player.
Yeah, really marquee signing, isn't it? I mean,
you sound more excited than Paddy. Did he almost shrugged his shoulders then?
Well, you know, he's not Messi, is he? So, you know,
he's got the potential to be very good, though, isn't he? He's shown at the level that he's played with Bayern Munich and Inter, a player for Stoke anyway, that he, once Bojan comes back and is fit as well, they've got some real talented players there. And I think the sort of stereotype about Stoke playing long ball direct football is probably going to die out quite quickly if those players are in their team. I just hope not to Norwich's cost on Saturday.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a good test, isn't it, off the back of, you know, what the Palace game was too. Sunderland clearly were in a bit of a mess as well as Norwich played. Yeah. This is another, I swear, I feel like going up a gear again almost.
Yeah, should be, but I mean, they've only got 1 point from 2 games, so, you know, in that respect, I know they've played Tottenham and Liverpool, but
came back from 2-0 down at Spurs as well, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you know, you could, I'm sure Alec Neil will look at that as if, well, they were 2 down to start with, rather than the positive nature of they scrambled a point. So yeah, you'd like to think, but the big thing for me now, it's not so much who they're playing now this Saturday, it's the fact that they're at home at Carrow Road. I mean, away from home, it looks like they've got a template. Well, we know they've got a template that works, because the man's still unbeaten and he's been here since January. But there's still, for me, reservations at Carrow Road, when the expectation's different and the punters turn up in their droves and they expect Norwich to be on the front foot and dictating. You know, that isn't going to be that easy at this level against the quality of opposition. You saw Palace, yes, they were good, they started well, but then Palace got more into the game and that anxiety, sort of, you could feel it in the stadium. So for me, it's, can they just hit upon a formula that gives them that sort of confidence that they clearly have on the road, which I don't think is quite matched at Carrow Road at the minute. That, for me, is the big imponderable for this weekend.
Stoke should have been completely out of that game before they got back to 2-2, really. I think it's a long time since they went away from home as well. I think it's always interesting as well when you have a player like Shaqiri turning up at Stoke. You know, it all comes down to the player's mentality at that point and what he's genuinely there for, and I think that will come around and become obvious quite quickly. Okay, well, yeah, look forward to that. Is there anything else around the Premier League that's caught anyone's attention that they want to bring up? I wonder about West Brom. Are they struggling, West Brom? And, you know, they've got a few more players that Tony Pulis doesn't fancy.
Well, apparently, Eno is, by all accounts, he's one who will move on. So you take him out of that side, I would fear for them, yeah. This is where the goal's coming from.
Victor Anichovy, he might be. You know, Norwich have already recruited 2 former West Brom players in the last few months.
Doesn't score goals, though, does he? That's his problem. He is obviously a big lump who can be quite effective, but he doesn't score goals. Everton looked good at Southampton, didn't they? Southampton didn't quite look their old selves, and obviously Norwich go down there quite soon. So
next away.
Maybe that's not as daunting as you might have thought at the start of the season.
Yeah, having been hammered 3-0, it's not the next. Away game in the league, but they've got Rotherham, haven't they, in the cup next week, next Tuesday, Pad. What a trip that's going to be. We'll be reliving past glories. Lewis Graben will probably start, I guess.
Well, it was some game. If you got a repeat of that game, I mean, that was proper tension because of the situation they were in, and we all know how it turned out successfully. But it did feel like a blow that day because, you know, given the manner of Graben sending off and the Hooper's unbelievable strike, they couldn't hold on. But, yeah, I don't know. I suppose we'll have the debate next week about Cup Pro. I mean, Dave, you had some good stuff there, didn't you, about Cup progress, whether it's a help or a hindrance. But I don't know. We'll see. What is intriguing is this is the first proper Alec Neil type of Cup approach, so we'll see how he goes, you know, whether he's just going to say all the right things and then before the game, and then we get the team sheet and it's, you know, no disrespect, but maybe the development lads. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches it. But yeah, I can't say I'm looking too forward to that trip, to be honest.
Well, he's got the squad to play a senior side, hasn't he? If it's not going to be...
He has, and with loans manager Neil Adams, for, you know, getting all the players out there to get the experience as they are. We see Carlton Morris getting a goal for Hamilton at the weekend, and Jacob Murphy's joined your lot, hasn't he, Pad?
Yeah, was it Neil Adams? Yeah, he would have
fine signing. Yeah, he'll enjoy himself there, I'm sure.
Propel himself to League One promotion.
Well, yeah, let's not get carried away too much.
Good manager there as well, though, isn't there? Tony Mowbray at Coventry. So hopefully that's going to stand him well. And the other one today is Harry Toffolo to MK Dons. Do you think that's a goer?
Yeah, I could certainly see, if not the Dons, and certainly a Championship club. I think that's where he needs to be now. I mean, Neil alluded to it, to go from League One, where he had an unbelievable season with Swindon on a personal level, to drop him straight into the Premier League, I think, is too big a gulf for a 19-year-old lad. Plus, Martin Olsen will be soon back. So, yeah, go and let him play in the Championship for a season, and, you know, he's clearly got a big future.
Then you know whether you've got a player or not, don't you? Whether he goes and tears it up in the Championship.
Indeed, you do. Right, we better let you go, Pad, because you're off to the under-21s.
That's the plan, mate, yeah.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Leicester at Colney.
Beautiful. Well, enjoy that. We'll be back after Stoke, I reckon, and there'll be the usual fun and games. We'll have live coverage of the game at Carrow Road. My Mustard TV bits will be around, and loads of stuff in the paper. Presser on Friday. But until then, thanks, gents. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again in a week's time. Bye for now.